Tonight, I want to share with you a message entitled, Fanning the Flame. Fanning the Flame. And we're going to be looking at a passage in 2 Timothy. Before I show you the particular verses we're going to focus on, I want to read over you 2 Timothy 1, verses 3 through 13, and just kind of get this context in your mind. Paul is in prison, suffering for the sake of the gospel. He sends a letter back to Timothy, who probably was in the area of Ephesus. He's a young protege of Paul's, a son in the faith, and going through a tough time as a young man and dealing with a thriving Christian community in a very pagan place. And Paul sends him this letter. It's very personal. And I'm going to begin in verse 3. Paul says, I thank God, whom I serve with a pure conscience, as my forefathers did, as without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began, but has now been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, to which I was appointed a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles. For this reason I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep what I have committed to him until that day. Hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me, in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. And may God bless the reading of his word. This is the key verse of the scripture for this message tonight. We'll be talking about others surrounding it because the context has a lot of info in it to help us understanding why we need to fan the flame. But the primary verse here is, therefore I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now, you see the word to stir up there. That's the Greek word, anapareo, which you see that word P-Y-R-E, that means fire, and it means to fire up again, to bring to life again. It literally was used to speak of fanning a flame, to get it stirred up and blazing, indicating that there's fire present. It may just be an ember, but it can be rekindled. It can be stirred up. It can be fanned into a flame again. A couple of 3 weeks ago, Mickey went on house cleaning binge up in the attic and ended up getting like 7 or 8 years of old documents and papers. You know, you have to keep things so long. And, well, it was time to put them in the burn barrel. So how many trash bags were there that I took out there? Huh? 7 or 8 big trash bags of paper. So I go out to the burn barrel I have in a hot, the backyard, and it had rained, so it was wet. It was a good time to do the burning. And I began to stack those papers in there, just like if you were to buy a ream of paper, 500 sheets. You know, it was stacked up in there. And I thought, man, this will burn up in a hurry. And so I got my propane torch and lit it up, and then I would just continue to add paper. Well, I ended up being out there a couple of hours or so just till I finally got the barrel full, and it was burning. And I kept an eye on it that day, and I went out the next morning, and I thought, well, it's out, and I looked down in there, and I could still see a little orange. I got a stick there I have by my barrel, and I stirred it a little bit, and it started flaming up again, and didn't think anything of it. Went back the next day, still saw some orange embers. To shorten this story, 6 days later, I'm going every day, I look down in there, and it's still, I see orange embers in that paper, and I would stir it up. It would flame up, and the barrel would just, it would smoke. And I think the following several days, it was probably still doing it. I just didn't go out and check it anymore. But I was amazed that paper would burn that long. I told Mickey, well, if we had 2 or 3 cartons of paper, we could heat the house for a week in a cold snap. But that's what Paul is talking about, is to stir those embers. And Andrew's really into bushcraft, survival stuff, and he loves to build fires. And I've seen him, you know, get down there and... As a matter of fact, I had our fire pit going last winter, and realizing how that works, I went and got my leaf blower. And I stuck that rascal under there and fired it up. And I mean, it was like a blowtorch going toward the heavens. Well, Paul's telling Timothy, there's a gift inside of you. You got the fire of God in you. And to deal with all this stuff you're in, you need to stir up that gift. So that is the imagery that's employed in that verse. And I studied the uses of that word in the early church fathers. And one of them, Chrysostom, he said the idea is the fanning into flame, the grace of God that's in you, the idea of the gift, the charisma. And so that's a whole other line of thought of stirring up the grace gifts that's in us. Timothy had giftings in him. He had a calling on him. And all of that need to be rekindled. And we go through those seasons when we too need to stir up the gift of God in our life. Now, why fan the flame? Let's look at the context here. The first thing I want to share with you is we want to fan the flame to honor the people who are in our corner. You want to honor the people that are in the corner with you. And Paul here has a relationship with Timothy and Timothy's family. He mentions Timothy's grandmother and Lois and his mother, Eunice. Or did I get it backwards? Okay, I did. Or didn't. What? Lois and Eunice, okay. And he knew them. And Timothy, he had a personal relationship with him. And so he says, I'm remembering the faith I saw in your grandmother, I saw in your mother, and I'm persuaded that's in there too. He's encouraging him to remember those who passed on to him their faith. I did my daily devotional on Facebook today out of the book of Ezra, where they're listing the people that came back from Babylonian captivity, and it talks about the forefathers. Yesterday I taught about this, your forefathers, the God of Isaac, Abraham, and Jacob. Or was that in Exodus 3? I think that was in Exodus 3 today. Anyway. The idea of the forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's a generational God. And it's important. We need to use our gift because of what people who believed in us poured into our lives. We're honoring what they've done, what they passed on to us. And a year ago today, my mom passed away, and Robin had mentioned that. Thank you for that, Robin, earlier. But I've been thinking about my mom the last couple of days, my mom and my sister, because they passed away within 2 months of each other last fall. And particularly when I was reading this verse, I thought about those times when my mom, you know, would get me and go up to the altar to pray if we were going through some sickness or something. And I remember sometimes if we didn't go to church on a Sunday night or Wednesday night, I remember her putting a little cardboard box out, and she would have me stand up on it and preach to her. So we're not able to be at church tonight, so you're going to preach tonight. I had no clue that I actually would be called into the ministry. But you remember those things. I remember my grandmother, who was about 4'8", really, really small woman, but teaching me when I was 3 and 4 and 5 years old in what we called card class in Sunday school. We didn't have a book. You had a little card with a picture on it and a Bible verse, and she would tell us the stories of the Bible. So I remember those things, and I'm long since not a child anymore, but I thank God for what was passed on to me from my grandmother, my mother, and my dad. My dad was, you know, we were very faithful church attenders. And I thank God for that now, more as I grow older than I any time in my life. You appreciate what was passed on to you. And I would encourage you, if maybe you're a first-generation believer in your home, you can be the one who passes it on. You can be the forerunner for your family line. So we want to keep our gift, and we want to steward it well to honor the people that are in our corner, that have poured into us. And another reason we want to fan the flame is to unleash the powerful gift you already have. Notice what Paul says, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you. Sometimes when we're stressed out and don't know what to do, and we're asking God, you know, Lord, I need you to do this, I need you to do that. Sometimes we're praying when we already have the answer through the gift of God that's in us. You know, particularly when it comes to spiritual gifts, they primarily are not for when we're at church. They're when you're at the supermarket or at the restaurant or on the job or in the office or at family outings or when you're out and about among people that don't know the Lord. We want to cultivate those gifts so that we can use them to pour into the lives of other people. And obviously, we're very open to that here as well. We want to see those operating here in our midst as well. But you have a gift. You've got the gift of salvation if you're a believer. It's a gift of God, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. You've got the gift of the Holy Spirit. He's the Father's gift to you. And you've got the Holy Spirit, He's the gift who just keeps on giving, because He can distribute to you whatever spiritual gift might be needed in any particular situation. I believe that we all have some gifts that we may function in more than others, but I don't believe that you should have an attitude that says, well, I shouldn't expect that. I don't have that gift. You have the gift. He has all the gifts. And I believe that if you're in a situation and a word of knowledge is needed, the Lord can use you to do that. It's already in you. Well, you may say, well, I don't know what my gift is or if I've got a gift. Well, you can have gifts and not realize what they are or even how to flow in them. I'll give you an example. It was in 1997 when I really had an encounter with God's Holy Spirit baptized in His power. But when I began speaking in tongues, it was an act of faith on my part. Because as I studied it, I realized when I was saved at the age of 10, I went around the house. I remember playing out in the yard all the time. And I thought it was just funny talk. It was just coming out of me. This language that I didn't know and I didn't understand. It was just so easy. But years later, after I'd been pastoring for, you know, a number of years, and I came into the fullness of the Holy Spirit and started realizing how that gift functioned, and then I submitted myself to the Lord, and it just started flowing out of me. And I realized, you know what, this is the same thing when I was 10 years old. I had no knowledge of what it was, had no context, never heard any teaching out of it, but it didn't keep the Lord from giving me that gift. Same way with words of knowledge for healing. I didn't know that the Holy Spirit could cause you to have, for instance, have pain in your body that wasn't really yours, but he was alerting you that someone else was having that pain so you could pray for them. I didn't understand that. But after I understood how it operated, I remembered numbers of times through the years where I'd have these, I thought they were like phantom pains. I didn't understand them. At times I'd wonder, does everybody else hurt like this in different places? You know? But when I started understanding how that gift operated, I was amazed. I could be around somebody and say, are you having trouble with your right elbow? Well, how did you know that? Are you having trouble? Something right in here is a lot of pain. How did you know? Well, it's the Holy Spirit, and it's a faith builder, and you can pray for people. So I've seen God touch a number of people in that way. But I'm just simply saying that I believe those gifts were given me. I didn't know how they operated, didn't even know they were there, or that you could function in them that way. So Paul's reminding Timothy, there's a gift in you, son. Stir it up. You need it in the ministry that God's given you to unleash that power that's in you through the Holy Spirit. Also, you want to fan the flame. Why? To shut down the fear that tries to shut you down. Isn't it interesting that in the context here, Paul's talking about suffering, persecution, all the stuff, not to be ashamed. He says, stir up that gift in you that the Lord has given you, for you have not been given a spirit of fear. See, it wasn't Timothy was lazy. He wasn't using his gift because he was lazy. It was because he was probably struggling with fear, timidity. It wasn't passivity. It was timidity. And basically, if you put these two verses together, God's given you a gift, but there's going to be warfare, a spirit of fear, and yes, there's a natural fear, but there's also can be a spirit of fear, that is a demonization that utilizes fear in order to torment you, or in order to shut you down, to back you off of your calling or gifting. And Paul is telling Timothy, God hasn't given you a spirit of fear. What he's given you is love, power, and a sound mind. But what fear does, it hinders the power flow in your life because you're not activating by faith and flowing in the gift that God's given you. It hinders your ability to give and receive love. Well, what will they think? That, so many manifestations of how it hinders love. And a sound mind, it can create confusion. Well, I don't know if this is the Lord or not, or I don't know... If I should do this or not, or I'm afraid to do this. It manifests in a lot of ways to create confusion. So why fan the flame? To shut down the fear that tries to shut you down. And I think there's the battle of fear doesn't ever seem to be too far away. And, we're to have the fear of the Lord. And we're to have a sobriety and seriousness about flowing in our gifts. And so we don't want to miss it. We want to make sure it's the Lord. But then there's that line you can cross to get in and sit you where you have more faith in the enemy's ability to deceive you than you do in the Lord's ability to speak to you. And fear can bring that kind of confusion. So stirring up or fanning into flame our gift, let the fire of courage begin to blaze and the boldness that's needed to step into saying what the Lord may want you to say or going where the Lord wants you to go, doing what the Lord wants you to go, or utilizing the gift that the Lord's wanting to manifest through you. The fourth reason that you should fan the flame out of this context is to be unashamed of Jesus and his people. And Paul says, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner. Now, what's the idea here? Well, think about it. The primary message we preach is about a king who was crucified. A man who was nailed on a cross between two criminals and was sentenced as a criminal to die on a cross. And Paul here is a preacher of the gospel that is Timothy's, quote, spiritual father. And like, well, who taught you, Paul? Where's he? Well, he's in jail right now. So, you see, he had to overcome all of that to, you know, preach Jesus. And we all have to deal with this. You know, to and that not that you was like, I'm not ashamed of Jesus, but holding back, boldly proclaiming the gospel of Christ. He's my life. I love him. He's the anchor of my life. Oh, you're going through that? I know someone who can help you. Let me tell you about how Jesus helped me through a situation just like that. Being unashamed of the testimony of the Lord or of his people. Well, I don't want to be associated with that guy. He believes in demons. You know, my kid, I've had to deal with that in the past, even here in this city. Like, no, you don't want to hang around. His daddy believes in demons. I do. I'm in very good company with that. Because Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, is the one that taught us about them. The Word of God teaches us about them. So, I mean, just stuff like that. Or the gifts. You know, you can be harangued because, you're one of those tongue speakers. Or you don't believe like that miracle stuff, do you? Well, as a matter of fact, I do. Because it's in the book. And my Lord says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So why would we want to gut the Bible of the supernatural when the Bible itself tells us that it's the supernatural that God has endowed us with, the gift of God that should flourish in our life instead of being suppressed. So the spirit of fear often will travel in league with religious spirits, back you off and shut you down. So we need to fan into flame the gift of God. Another reason to do that is to stand strong when life gets hard. Notice what Paul tells Timothy. Share with me in the sufferings for the gospel according to the power of God. He also tells Timothy elsewhere in the writings to Timothy that all those who live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And there are streams of teaching that basically kind of red X that idea. Well, if you're a believer, you won't have to worry about that stuff. Well, maybe you shouldn't worry about it, but that doesn't mean you don't have to deal with it. Paul suffered. Read what he wrote in Corinthians when they were accusing him of not being an apostle. We see a lot of qualifications, you know, and different things about being an apostle. Well, his was being stoned how many times and left for dead and left out in the deep and whipped with cords, you know, several times. All the things he went through to be faithful to the call of God on his life. And we're so privileged to live in a nation where we have the freedom to proclaim Christ, to share Christ. Although there are growing pockets in our culture where there's a lot of anti-Christian sentiment. 2,000 years ago, the aged Apostle John wrote about how the spirit of Antichrist was working back then. It still works. The spirit that works against Christ and his followers. So, suffering and persecution goes with being faithful to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Hard times will come. God's people are not exempt from hard times, but God's people have a resource that lost people don't have. We have the Holy Spirit of God who is our comforter, our helper. We have the saints of God that know how to get in touch with Father in the throne room and see heaven come down to earth. We have divine supernatural resources, but it doesn't mean that you don't deal with hurt, heartache, pain, and suffering. Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And now in Christ, you and I, we are overcomers. But you know, when to be an overcomer, that implies there's something you have to come over. Right? You have to deal with stuff. You have to get over it. You have to move across it. But we are overcomers. And then another reason to fan the flame we see in this text is to fulfill the holy calling God placed on you. He tells Timothy, he continues on, he says, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose. You are God's idea. You being brought into the family of God, God took the initiative. He sent his son. God took the initiative. You heard the gospel somewhere, that was God at work. God took the initiative. The Holy Spirit convicted you and began to awaken you to your need to repent. That's all Daddy God loving on you and calling you to himself. You are called with a holy calling. God's not going to hang up and say, sorry, I got the wrong number. No, he called you. He saved you. And it's a holy thing to know that. According to, and it's not based on our goodness, our works. I just spent 7 weeks on that. But according to his own purpose. He has a purpose for you being here. Purpose for having called you and leaving you here. Be encouraged by that. That's fanning up the flame is important because it helps us fulfill that calling. We need the divine enablement of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that God gives us to fulfill his call on our lives. And whatever mountain of culture you're in out there that God has you planted and sown in, he will equip you and grace you to be an overcomer and to take ground in that place. Number 7. Why fan the flame? To steward the grace he gave you before time began. Notice that verse goes on that I was just reading. He says it's not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began. There's another scripture you could put in that grace series. Fits right in. It's not about our works. It's about what we do with the grace that God gives us. And that was part of his plan even before time began. Jesus was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. And thank God for his grace. And we want to fan the flame, into flame, the gifts of God so that we can properly steward the grace. Because the very gift is grace gifts, charisma, that we have given to us by the Spirit of God. And then, number 8, I've got 9, so I'm almost through here. Another reason that we want to fan the flame is to grip the truth with faith and love. Now he's getting in Timothy's grill a little bit. And he tells him, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you have heard from me. This is down at the end of that verse. In faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. Hold fast the sound words. There is always warfare around the Word of God. There's literally demonic warfare around you receiving the Word of God. We get this from the parable of the soils, where Jesus says some of the seed fell on the wayside and the birds came and ate it. And when he explained that, he says this is Satan coming to steal the Word away from you. Now, just think about, why would the devil want to steal the Word of God away from you? I mean, just think on that a little bit. He wants to keep you from that because if you have that, you can keep him from you. He doesn't want you in the Word. And if you're in the Word, then he wants you to misinterpret it or bring confusion into it or turn it into something it's not, because it is powerful and it will equip you And it will, so that you can be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Paul teaches Timothy that in his writings as well. So, grip the truth with faith and love that's in Christ Jesus. And being aware that there's always warfare around the word should encourage you to embrace it and hold on to it. Just like when you plant a seed in the ground, it's important it gets covered and it gets nurtured and cultivated and watered, and then it'll begin to take root, and then it'll begin to spring up, manifest in your life, and then result ultimately in fruit. We see this principle operating in the natural, but it's a principle in the spiritual as well, the seed of the Word of God. The seed of the Word will produce the promise it contains. That's the scripture on healing. You want to plant that in your heart, cultivate it, pray into it, guard it, protect it, embrace it, believe it, receive it, and war with it till it gets rooted, so it'll bring forth healing in your life. If there's provision, Jehovah Jireh, you can take those scriptures, you can take, for instance, Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You embrace that, you hold that, you speak it, you meditate on it, you water it, you don't let the enemy come with something else and steal your attention away from it or get you into unbelief, but you cultivate that so that that can manifest in your life and you'll see the provision come. Because God watches over His Word to bring it about. Isaiah 55, it will not return to us void. So we want to, Paul's telling you, you hang on to the sound words you've heard from me. And then the last thing, a last reason, and you probably could find others in there as well, but the ninth one is, we want to fan the flame, to be powered by the Spirit, not our own power. Because that last verse there, he says, that good thing which was committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. Oh, the Bible teaches us so much about the Holy Spirit who dwells in our lives as believers. One simple way to think of Holy Spirit is what Jesus taught. I love John 14, 15, and 16, that whole scripture, that whole section of Scripture, the night before Jesus is going to be crucified. He is loading them up with teaching about the Holy Spirit. And He says, He's your helper. That simple little thing. He's your helper. You need help? The Holy Spirit is your helper. You're having warfare around the Word? Keep it by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. It was the Holy Spirit. Listen, there is a relationship between the Holy Spirit and God's Word. Number one, He's the Spirit of truth. Number two, He's the author of Scripture. He moved upon men of old as they wrote it down. But in the very beginning of what we call time, when the world was formless and void and waters covered the deep, the Bible says the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the deep. Idea is like a hummingbird over a flower, hovering over the waters. And then what happened? God said, let there be light. God began speaking His Word. And when the spoken Word of God and the stirring activity of the Holy Spirit came together, the result was dynamic and creative. The Spirit and the Word. Father, seeking people whose way of living is by the Spirit and the Word, Spirit and truth. I call that principle the stirring Spirit and the spoken Word. That's the dynamic duo, the Word and the Spirit. That good thing you keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in you. He is your helper. Well, I'm needing some help in my marriage. Holy Spirit will help you. He'll help you hold your tongue. He'll help you calm your fear and your anxiety. He'll help you not be so quick-tempered. He'll help you Pay more attention to your spouse. He'll help you to say sweet nothings. He'll help you very practically because he knows what you don't know. Because if you're having a problem, it's either because there's something you don't know that you need to know and do, or something you already know but you're not doing it. And the Bible says that's sin, he that knows to do good and does it not. So you need the Holy Spirit's help there too. Whatever area of concern, wherever you're needing help, Holy Spirit is your helper. So fan into flame, stir up that gift in you. Lock arms with the Holy Spirit who wants to help you. These reasons are all encouragers to us to stir up the gift of God inside of us. And by the way, for Paul to say, I remind you to stir up the gift of God, this was something Paul must have taught on more than a few times. He's reminding Timothy, you know to do this and you're not doing it. And probably this is not the first time most of us have heard a message about stirring ourselves up or stirring up the gift. We have to be reminded, don't we? So would you stand with me? I'm going to ask our prayer team members to come on up and be here. If perhaps you need someone to pray with you. Did you notice how that Paul told Timothy that gift was in him through the laying on of hands? Isn't that awesome that at times somebody laying hands on you and praying for you, that God will impart to you a gift that you need? Now, I think that can be spiritual gifts. Sometimes, though, the gift can be that scripture that you need to stand on right now, that word of encouragement, or that healing that needs to flow into your body and that pain. So the altar's open tonight. If you need someone to pray with you, I encourage you to come. And I also challenge you and charge you to stir up the gift of God that's in you tonight. Let's bow our heads and let's just pray and ask Father to help us. Father, we've heard your word tonight. So by an act of our will, we're choosing this. In faith, we ask that the gifts, the good things that you placed inside of us, we stir those up right now, Lord. We believe that you're giving grace in this moment. We know the Holy Spirit is here to help. We are choosing to look heavenward. Coming into your presence, we're being reminded of what's been passed on to us. And we're choosing not to allow the circumstances we're in, the despondency, the rejection, the hard times, the ridicule, the persecution, the unanswered prayers, all the different things that can vie for our attention. We're looking past all those things to you, Father, and saying, you are good. Everything you do for us is good. The gift you've given us, your calling in our life, it's good. And we stir ourselves up. Oh, Holy Ghost, may you take the bellows of God and just breathe into us a renewed life tonight. Fire us up for you, oh Lord. May the fire on the altars of our hearts tonight be stirred. In Jesus' name, may we be set ablaze for your honor and your glory. Now, just by faith, just receive right now. Receive a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Be shaken by the Spirit of God. Be stirred up by the Spirit of God. Even now, oh Holy Spirit, have your way over every heart, over every life. Say no to every distraction. And set your gaze upon your Lord Jesus. Look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need prayer, please come on up. We're just going to sing here for a moment. You're welcome to come and receive ministry.
Jesus, how can it be?
Are there others? Feel free to come.
It's my joy to honor.
Be stirred up. Father, thank you for the privilege to gather here this evening. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your goodness. And thank you for the opportunity we have had to fellowship with our brothers and sisters. It's so wonderful to be a part of your forever family. Bless your name, O King. Bless your name. In Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Can you give the Lord a hand tonight? Isn't he so good? Thank you for being here. This altar's open. If you need prayer, come on up. Have a wonderful rest of the evening. Invite someone to come with you this coming Lord's Day here at Grace House. Hope to see you then.